Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. You are safe in the tower of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. His name is mighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Glad you're in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see y'all. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 20:15. We're continuing. We're almost through the Ten Commandments. We're in the eighth commandment tonight. Exodus 20:15, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." Anybody ever been robbed? Yeah. Or somebody taking something from you? Yeah. It's not fun. I'll never forget the time we come home from a youth rally and our whole house was just ripped apart. Drawers hanging out, stuff laying everywhere, you know, stuff missing, and just didn't know who was in our house, didn't know if they were there right at the moment, you know. What a terrifying experience. But it's not fun to be things taken from you. I can remember growing up as a kid, my dad having stuff stolen from him. Amen. Stuff that he needed to continue to work with, welders and things of that nature, to make a living. Amen. And people just help themselves thinking that they have a better use for it. That is frustrating. Well, the eighth commandment, it safeguards everyone's right to legitimately acquire and own property. Amen. You have a right to own what you own. Yeah. Whether it's cars, whether it's literal property, or just material things, things that you have, trinkets, things that were handed down to you from your grandparents and mom and dads, and you know, we have things that we cherish and that we love, and it's something that it's our right to have it. It's ours. It's ours to acquire, and it's our own property. And God wants that right honored and protected. Amen. He wants you to own what you own and keep and take good care of it. He teaches us how to take care of things and be good stewards of what we have. Amen. We teach our kids when they were little, don't crash your car into the other car. Take care of that. You know, make it last. You know, don't throw it at things, and don't break the wheels off of them, and you know, cherish those things. They're toys that you can play with for a long time if you take care of them. It's just being good stewards of what you have, and we want to look into this tonight. The eighth commandment, which forbids theft, calls our attention to opposite ways of thinking and living. An approach that we might emphasize getting rather than giving wins all the contests for popularity. But the giving approach, it epitomizes God's love. Yeah. Amen. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. But we like it the other way around. We like to receive. No, not so much to give. Especially when it comes to our personal things. We like to hold on to those things. Theft is the ultimate assertion of the greedy. It is the epitome of selfishness. Amen? Getting what you think but you ought to have. Just because you want it. The spiritual intent of the commandment against stealing tells us where the battle against selfishness begins. It originates when we learn to appreciate the rights and the needs of others. Amen. If someone else has that, they've earned it. They've worked for it. Amen. It's theirs. It's their property. They have a right to it. The right, we all have the right to own property. Amen. If you want to get out there and work and save, and you can own things. You can own a new car, you can own a new house, you can have nice things, but it takes work. It takes hard effort to get out there and provide and get things that you want. Amen. So it safeguards us, everyone's right to legitimately acquire and own property that God wants the right honored. He wants it protected. Amen. His approach to material wealth is balanced, and he wants us to prosper and enjoy physical blessings. Amen. God doesn't want us all to be paupers and poor and never having anything. Amen. That's not how God wants us to live. Amen. God says, give and it shall be given. You know, he wants to give back. He wants to prosper his people, and he wants us to be blessed. Amen. And if we are good stewards of what he has given us, then he'll give us more to be good stewards of. Amen. He's a good God. He wants you to be blessed. Amen. He don't want you laying around in rags and not having anything good. Amen. Sometimes people, you know, sacrifice, though. I'm not saying that, you know, that people aren't without. Some people go without just to be a blessing to the things of God. But God ultimately wants us to be blessed. Amen. He wants us to have nice things. And if we take care of those things, he will bless us with more things. Amen. That's important. John 3, or 3 John, the second verse, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." See? God wants your health to prosper, and he wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to prosper. And he also expects us to show wisdom in how we use what he provides us. Amen. He gives us the knowledge and the ability to take care of what he does give us. But he does not want possessions to be our primary pursuit in life. Amen. If you know somebody, or you are that somebody, that's all you do is pursue things. And you gotta have the best. You gotta go for the greatest. You gotta have, you know, the top. So you neglect the things of God to get them. Coming to his house, amen. I gotta work. I gotta put the, you know, food on the table. And we neglect the things of God to do it, amen. That's not right in God's eyes. God's not pleased with that. Matthew 6:25-33. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. But there's a big but. Johnny James calls it the biggest but in the Bible. But seek ye first. See? God wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to have a lot of things, but he puts buts in there so that you got to do something. You got to seek him first before you do all those other things. Before you try to get all those other things, put God first. And if you do that, all these things will just come. Amen. We got to keep our priorities on Jesus Christ. So when we see material blessings as a means to achieve more important objects, God enjoys seeing us prosper. To him, it is important that generosity rather than greed motivate our choices that we make. Amen. It's more better to give than to receive. God wants us to be givers. And because to him, it's important, and because they are qualities of his own character, he asks that from the heart we put giving and serving ahead of lavishing possessions on ourselves. Amen. Become a giver. Be a giver. Amen. That's a blessing from God. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Not one that's begrudging and all just, here we go again. Got to give him some more. It's all this guy asked for is money. To bless this and do that and help them people. And, you know, God doesn't like that attitude. He wants to say, people that are, yeah, willing. I know God will take care of me. Man, this is a need. We're going to meet it. We're going to bless the kingdom of God. We're going to bless these people. We're gonna do all that we can to make it happen. And God's got your back. Brother Britt?
I think God's economy and the word, we are begrudging and are giving. It's really an indicator of who possesses our possessions.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, yes.
You don't have to pay your tithes. Except you don't want to. Except God's going to get home right there.
Yeah. You better believe it. And he's right. It's very true. Amen. If we don't follow the ways of God, it comes out. Cars break down, problems happen, we get sued, we get this, we get that, because the hand of God's not on our life. God's hand's withheld from blessing you. Amen. Luke 6:30-35, it says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." 30-35. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? The sinner also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So, basing what comes next on what he has already told us about having a generous rather than a selfish heart, Jesus continued in Luke 6:38. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with that same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Man, and God doesn't forget. We have a tendency to forget things that we tell somebody we're going to do, or we're going to give you this or do that for you, and you know, if we get sidetracked, we forget. But God doesn't forget. He comes through right on time, right when you need it most. Amen. He shows up and takes care of your need. God is willing to be our partner in serving others if we replace greed with a devotion to serving. Are you a servant? Amen. We ought to be people that want to serve, not people that want to get all the time. Amen. Take care of me. Give to me. Do this for me. Help me. Come bless me. That ought to change in our life. We ought to become people that say, "What can I do to bless you? How can I help? Just do something nice. Just bless somebody just because you want to be a giver." Amen. That's trusting the Lord that he can help you. And he will. Have a different mindset in our life. Get that greedy mindset away. Wanting more. I gotta have another little bit more. Just give me a little bit more of your what you can do for me. Come on, you can help me do this. You can take care of this for me. And since you're here, just get all I can get out of you. 2 Corinthians 9:7 begins. It says, "Every man according as he prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." Did I just read that? No, okay. Sounded familiar. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." God rejoices when he sees us, once our own needs are met, using any additional abundance and blessing to increase the usefulness and service to others. That blesses God. Amen. That pleases God. When we can Once our needs are met, we can be a blessing to others. Amen. This is a side note, but I've always thought of our nation like President Trump is trying to accomplish in our nation. You know, why are we giving all these other countries all this stuff and giving them, giving, and we're broke. We're hurting. Our stuff's a mess. That's not biblical. God says, make sure your house is taken care of. Then he'll bless you, and you can be a giver then. Amen. We must, you know, take care of the needs of ourselves, and then God will bless if we're doing the butts, if we're doing those things that God requires of us, his blessings will flow. Amen. And we can be a giver if our heart is willing to. If that spirit of greed is not upon us, that no, I can't give anymore. I gotta have that. I gotta save that for better time, you know, for case things go bad. Trust the Lord. Amen. Lean not on your own understanding. He will bless you. He will take care of you. Be a conduit. Amen. And don't be just one of those little conduits that barely anything flows through. Become a big conduit where the blessings of God can flow through you. And you'll be blessed by it. I know we're talking about thou shalt not steal tonight. But we got to get this concept right in our heart. If we get this right in our heart, we won't have to worry about it. We'll want you to have what you have. Yeah. Amen. I'll never have to be tempted to take something that you have that I think that I need if I got this working in my life, because I'll have more than I need. Amen. I'll be blessed of God. I'll have all that I need. I won't need anything else. I won't have this desire to steal. So it changes the heart of a thief, giving does. How does all this relate directly to the command not to steal? Paul gives us the connection in Ephesians 4:28. It says, let him that stole steal no more. Pretty easy. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, this is the best thing if you struggle with thievery, is to become a giver. Don't steal anymore. Stop stealing and start giving. And if you can begin to give, the hand of God is going to bless you. And the desire to steal is not going to be in your life anymore. Amen? Because you've become a giver. I want to be a giver. Amen? I want to be like him. Man, God gives us mercy and grace. Think about what he's preparing to give us. Right. Just think about that. The things that he is preparing to give you, each one of us, if we can stay in his presence right here on earth and through the struggles and the trials and tests of life, if we can continue doing what God's got a whole bunch of stuff he's preparing for. He said you can't even imagine. You haven't even laid eyes on the things and the stuff that I have prepared for you. That's our God. That's the nature of God. He is a giver. He does nothing but give. Pours it out on us. Brother Britt, you had your hand up?
Yeah, it makes me think the scripture says, cease from evil and do your whole concept about not just stealing. Be a giver. You want to worry about stealing. Because, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, I've done nothing to get you. You know, well, it's just not.
I've known men, they didn't need it. They didn't need what they took. They just took it because they wanted to take it. They had no need for it whatsoever. It's just they wanted it. They just wanted to take it. And so they took it. That's because their mind is not in the giving mode. Their mind is doing what's best for me. What pleases me. What makes me happy. That's the mind of the evil one. Take all I can. Steal all I can. That's his job. Kill, steal, and destroy. The work of the enemy. Stealing everything you have. Everything that you worked up in your life. He's tried to steal it from you. And if you're not careful, you'll let him. You know, the devil don't have an ounce of power in our lives. That little spot right there on my fingernail, it is not afraid of the devil. Because he can't do anything unless I give him power to. Amen? He can't steal it if you don't give it to him. Amen? Do the buts, and you won't give him the power. Amen? God will give you the power to tell him to take a hike. Amen? Tell him to quit stealing my health, quit stealing my peace, quit stealing my goodness and mercy and all of these things. Get out of my life. You're not ruling and reigning here. That takes you. That takes you standing up and saying, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to be a giver and not a thief. Amen. So God rejoices when he sees us once our own needs are met, giving to others and blessing others. So a thief must go far beyond simply ceasing his stealing to please God. Someone once wisely observed, a thief who has quit stealing may still be a thief at heart. A thief just temporarily unemployed. Right. He really ceases to be a thief only if and when he replaces stealing with giving. Then he becomes a giver. He's not a thief anymore. Amen. The thief has to change his heart and outlook. We've got to change our heart and outlook. Amen? And know that the goodness of God is going to follow you. Amen? He's going to do all those things we read earlier. He's going to prosper you. He's going to bless you. He's going to give back to you. He's going to give everything that you have need of. You're not going to have to worry about food and raiment and clothes. All those things are going to be provided for you. God's going to give them to you. If you'll just become a giver. If you'll just trust him. Listen to him. Hear him. If he's speaking to you, do what he's saying. Right. Amen. There's blessings that flow out of that. Right, Brother Mark? Amen. Amen. God blesses when we bless him. Amen. When we put him first, when we follow him and trust him. So let's look at some other forms of stealing. Directly taking another's possession is not the only way to steal. Laborers who bill for more hours than they work or charge more then their services are worth are stealing from those who hire them. Then there are those who borrow and never return. Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
6 years later, you're looking for your... I know I had a soul. What did I do with that thing? Oh, that's right. I loaned that to so-and-so. Amen. Take it back. They were gracious enough to loan you the whatever you borrowed. When you're done, load it back up and take it home. It's not yours. Amen. I've heard people say, they got so much they ain't gonna miss that. Doesn't matter. It's not yours. It doesn't matter if they've got 10 of them. They loaned it to you. It's not yours. And if you take it, you take possession of it, you stole it.
Right.
Amen.
Definitely.
That's stealing. Take it back to them. It's theirs. We cannot have the mindset that just because somebody has 500 times more than I do, that I deserve to have something that they have. They won't go without. Jesus didn't say, God bless Robin Hood. You know? He said, thou shalt not steal. If you want something, I'll provide it for you, God's saying. Just do what I'm asking you to do. I have gazillions of beyond gazillions to provide for you. I can do it. And you can have it if you'll ask for it. God says sometimes we don't get because we don't ask.
Right.
Or we ask amiss. So we just need to start asking and believing and trusting, and God's going to give us what we need. We don't have to take what ain't ours. Employees who, you know, that we gotta live, do what's right. When we're hired to do something, do the work that you're hired to do. Don't be taking extra breaks and, you know, work. Do a good day's work for a good day's pay. Amen. They hired you for a reason. Amen. And work. If you don't, then you're taking from them. That's not yours. Bible says, work as unto the Lord. Amen. Well, the boss, he's this or he's that. Well, you're not to be working for him. You're working as unto the Lord. And God's blessings will bless you. God will help you. Amen. How about loading up on all the jelly at the restaurant for your lunches the next 6 weeks? But it's free. No, it's for your toast that you just purchased. Not for you to load your purse up with all the extra jelly that you can so that you can toast your bread at home for the next however long. Amen. The nice little mints that they put at the counter there when we pay, you know, that's not for you to load your pockets up and feed your kids so that you don't have to go to the candy store. Amen. They purchase those things. And they're nicely giving you one for your visit. And when you take all of them and stick them in your pocket, you're stealing from them. Because those are meant for other customers that are coming in, you know. And they just want a nice gesture to make sure their breath smells when they go out the door. Smells better. Those are just little things, but God is a God that is concerned about little things. Amen?
Right.
And we can take a look at our lives and some things that we may just think that that'll be all right. Nobody cares. Right. Yeah, God does. God's looking down on you and he's trying to see what's in your heart. Amen. What do you need it for? Didn't he say he would take care of you? Amen. And then he will. God will take care of it. Praise God. Matthew 25:24. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and unslothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Amen. The man in this parable knew that his job was to produce for his master. God had given him a job. The master had given him a job to do. Make some money out of what I give you. Do something and make a little extra. But because of his own distorted outlook, he willingly chose to be unproductive, lazy, afraid, fearful, buried his treasure, that treasure that he was given, and hid it. He knew the rules and responsibilities placed on him, and he had no excuse for his slack behavior. So Jesus, his parable continues in verse 25, 27. It says, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. The man's employer called him wicked and lazy. At heart, he was no different from a thief. Therefore, his boss gave him his reward to another who had worked hard to benefit the boss. Jesus used this parable to illustrate God's low opinion of self-pity and selfishness. Can we steal from God? The Bible helps us recognize yet another form of stealing from the time of Abraham. Genesis 14:24, the Bible shows us examples of how God's faithful servants formally acknowledged who really owns everything is God. They faithfully gave him 1/10 of their increase. In the covenant God made with ancient Israel, 1/10 of the people's increase was set aside for the priest to finance their spiritual service to the nation. And needless to say, this practice of tithing, meaning giving 1/10, never became popular with those people. It requires faith that God would supply their needs if they were a giving people. There's that if my people will, he'll supply. You know, there's always something that we must do, and God So if we're saying, well, God never blessed me, because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're doing what God requires of you, you can count on it. God's going to take care of you. Amen? God will supply every need that you have. So by 721 BC, general disobedience to God's laws had become so entrenched in ancient Israel that God sent the northern 10 tribes into captivity. And by the hand of the Assyrians, leaving only the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and scattered the Levites. In the southern kingdom of Judah, they continued the pattern of disobedience and were taken as captives to Babylon in around 587 BC. And about a century later, a small group of Jews returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city. This was Ezra and Nehemiah. But their loyalty to God soon began to wane as it had before. They got caught up in their own lives. And through the prophet Malachi, God reminded the priest for neglecting the teaching of his laws. In Malachi 2, 7 through 9. God, he reminds them and he talks to them and reproved the people to keep his tithe for themselves. And then Malachi 3. 8 and 9, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So the leaders of the Jews at the time reversed the nation's disobedience and instituted detailed regulations to force everyone to comply with the law. The physical aspects of this regulation were strict, but many people continued in the negligence. And when it came to a spiritual aspects of the law, later, Jesus condemned their misguided priorities. Their minds and their lives had gotten off and concerned about their own ways and their own lives and doing the things that pleased them. So Jesus had to remind them of some things. He condemned their misguided priorities, and he supported the Jews' continued observance of the physical aspects of the law and their faithful tithing. But he criticized their failure also to emphasize the spiritual virtues of faith, mercy, and justice. I have had people tell me that it's not in the New Testament to give or tithe. But what does the Word say? Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. This is Jesus talking. For ye pay tithe or mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave them, not to leave the other undone. He didn't say, stop doing that. He says, Keep doing that and do this too. Do it all. They were just doing a couple little things. But God says, don't stop doing all the things that I commanded. Keep doing them. Pay your tithe. Pay your offerings. Bless the house of God. Be a giver. And I can continue blessing you. I can continue pouring out blessings in your life. And God's hand will rest mightily upon us. I want God to bless me. Amen. Don't you? So, beyond here and now, God wants us to have confidence in the future. Amen. His word is full of promises concerning our future in His kingdom. If we believe those promises, we will invest our time and energy in acquiring a wealth of spiritual treasures that will last forever. Treasures that no thief can take from us. Nobody can steal from us. That is the advice of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, 19 through 20. I'm coming to a close. Thank you, Lord. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We need to understand and supply true values to life. And we need to concentrate on building our character traits that will endure beyond the physical, beyond this human life. And at the heart of it all is love. Godly love defeats the desire to steal. When we become like Him, the greatest giver ever known, amen, we will not have the desire to steal. Amen. We will be a giver. Amen. Everybody say, I want to be a giver. Amen. Let's stand. Mother Nature's about to give us something here. Amen. The old man.